Morning, church.
Morning.
That's it. Okay, now you know what's going to follow. God is good?
All the time.
All the time?
Amen.
Are you excited to be here?
Yes.
Oh, that's great. I'm also excited to be here. The title of my sermon today is Time is Everything. Well, almost. But before we start, can we let's just pray? And, you know, the worship was so powerful. You know, I stood at the back and I saw the exuberance of the youth and just the life. And then I see Auntie Doris at the back and just the excitement. And I think, well, you know, from the youth to the old age, if we can just get something that they have in abundance, we're in good stead. But let's just pray. Oh, Father, we just want to thank you for the privilege to be here this morning. Lord, where we worshipped, we declare in our hearts, all we need is you, Lord. We need nothing more. And you are more than enough for us. Lord, and we are just so privileged to know that you've done everything on the cross for us, Lord. You've paved the way for us. And it's just a matter of us taking advantage of this position that you've put us in, Lord, that we are your children and that we know that the victory is done. Lord, and we just pray for this sermon, Lord. We just pray that your Holy Spirit will really minister to each one of us. Lord, and it's that it not would not be my words or my ideas, but it would be your Spirit, Lord, because that's the only thing that's important. Your Spirit needs and knows that what each one of us need, Lord, and we know that you will minister accordingly. And we just pray for all the other sermons and all the other programs that's on today, Lord. I know that there's a camp for men, Lord, and all the other services, Lord. And I just pray that your Holy Spirit will just be there, Lord, that the breakthroughs will be there, Lord. The people will be set free. People will be healed. And we ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. All I can ask for you today is that you would really be expectant. Really go out and trust God in terms of what the Holy Spirit is telling you today. You know, I think where we move to is, it's not that God is not there for us. It's we missing God. And I mean, my life to a great extent can testify of that. You know, if I look back at all the disappointments, and I've had a fair share of disappointments, I can really say it's not that God wasn't there. It was just that I missed the boat completely. And this is where, you know, I believe God led me to speak about timing. Now, you know, one thing that made me sick in the past is you speak to your friends and they will tell you that they just happened to run into so-and-so at the shop. There was a quick discussion, and by the way, this guy offered me a job. And you think, my goodness, could I not have been there? Or you know, maybe amongst the youth, they will come and say, you know, we just went to town, and guess what? I think I'm in love. And, you know, they just saw the right boy or the right girl, and, you know, everything just changes from there. And, you know, I think the further you go into life, you will experience more and more of these things that people will come and say, you wouldn't believe. I was sitting on the plane, and this person next to me, we got chatting, and all of a sudden there's a new business opportunity, and you know, I think a lot of us would refer to that as luck, but that's not luck. That's really God having a divine appointment that He wanted to set you and say, Francois, I need you to be there. Gustav, I need you to be there. Paul, I need you to be there. Maggie, you know, for the youth that is, and the guys finishing school, you know, within a few months your CVs will be going through the world. You will be looking for employment. Or if you're just tired in the job and you say, God, there must be more. Or you're trusting God for a marriage partner. So, and you think, but God, how is this going to happen? Let me tell you, it is not luck. And the aim of this sermon is just to bring us to a point where we just need to rest. We just need to know that God is in control. Because, I mean, we have to agree. God knows what we need. There's no doubt about it. I mean, God says in His Word, you know, He knew us before we were even born. So, I mean, and it's not a question of us telling God, look, God, I think, let me just get it straight with you. I need this and this and this. No. God knows exactly what we need. He knows what will make us happy. He will, knows that what will make us dance. And let's just trust Him in that. Then He also knows the most important thing is He knows when we will need it. You know, for us, it's, hey, God, let me just tell you, I need it now. Or I need it yesterday. And, you know, I think if we are brutally honest with ourselves, if we go back and you say, God, here's a list of the things that I thought I needed it then. And, you know, you go back and you say, well, God, thank you that you didn't give it to me when I asked, because I was either not ready. You know, at school, you know, if you can get your driver's license maybe in standard 9, grade 11, grade 12, you reckon, God, I think I need a car now. Man, but, I mean, we are all so irresponsible. There's only a few that get cars. The rest will have to wait. But, you know, it's not God that not wants, He doesn't want to give us what we want. He knows what's good for us, and we need to trust Him in that. And then another thing is, He also knows who will give that to us. You know, who He's going to use to give that to us. Now, you know, we, in the intercession, and I would really, for those that can make it, it's truly a blessing. And every once in a while we see Auntie Doris pop in. And I tell you, for a woman that's as young as she is, wakes up at 3 o'clock in the morning, say, you know, God says, Doris, I need you to pray for this church. And then she intercedes. She comes with a tremendous blessing. And, you know, if I look at her, I see this is somebody that God uses. And how often have us, you know, God will just let somebody say something to us, and all of a sudden you say, wow, God, thank you for that. It was just the answer that I needed. And that's, so God knows who He's going to use. And let's just trust Him and say, God, we know that this is in Your plan. If we look at Ecclesiastes 3 verse 11, it's a very short verse. It says, it is beautiful how God has done everything at the right time. And we really need to take that at heart. Don't get frustrated if things don't work out now. There's a very good reason for it. And then Ecclesiastes 9 verse 11 to 12. Now this is what Solomon in all his wisdom said. He said, I saw something else under the sun. The race isn't won by the fastest runner, or the battle by the heroes. Wise people don't necessarily have food. Intelligent people don't necessarily have riches. And skilled people don't necessarily receive special treatment. But time, an unpredictable event, overtakes all of them. No one knows when this time will come. Like fish that are caught in a cruel net, or birds caught in a snare, humans are trapped by a disaster when it suddenly strikes them. And this is what God is saying. And what a relief for us. You know, we look at life and say, God, I'm not the cleverest guy. You might sit in a class full of brainiacs. Say, God, where am I going to get a job? All these guys are just so bright. Or you might say, you know, I might not have the prettiest body or the most attractive, I don't know what you call it. How will I find a partner? That is not what it's about. Because God says in His Word, if My favor is on you, irrespective of who applies for this job, irrespective of who you compete with, irrespective of who you run with, your victory with Me is guaranteed. And that to me was a tremendous blessing, because I mean if it was just the fastest, just the strongest, just the most intelligent that survived, I would be in trouble. And so far God has come through for me, and I can tell you the same for you. So only God can put us at the right place at the right time. And I believe this morning is going to be the start of that. You know, when we try ourselves, we get into, and don't get me wrong, it's not bad to be the best that you can be. But be the best that you can be is an honor to God. It's not to secure the position. You understand? If God has given you the talents to achieve something or do something well or be very creative, that is exactly what you do. You let those talents that God gave you really explode, manifest. But what it creates for you and what it achieves for you, that's in God's destiny. And He will do that. So all we need to do is just honor God in terms of what He's given for us. And if, you know, if on a scale of 1 to 10, if he's only given you 3 talents, that's fine. Doesn't mean that He's forgotten about you. But make sure that the 3 talents that you use 100%. And the rest, God will look after you. And this is something that's driven me for many years. You know, I've always felt I need to train harder. There was a time that I trained. Need to train harder, run more, run faster, or work harder. I mean, there was a time that I hardly saw my kids. I just thought, man, if I can work 15, 16 hours a day, if I can work on Sundays, if I can work on Saturdays, it's fine. And there was one loser, it was me. Because your kids grow up, you don't see them. You neglect your relationships because you have this one vision to say, God, I need to get that. And it wasn't that I didn't know God. I knew Him very well. But my focus was, if I do this, I will achieve this. And this is not what God is saying. I wish somebody at that point in time showed me Ecclesiastes. I would have we had a much different outlook on these things. So, you know, and then also you attend seminars, and they will say, 7 ways to find yourself, or planning your day. Planning your day is good, but let's see what Scripture says. A person may plan his own journey, but God directs his steps. The long and the short of it. It's just it's just as simple as that. But what I need from you guys today is to believe that God has come to put you in the right place and at the right time. And those two combined, not one in isolation without the other. Not being in the right place at the right time is almost like in a rainstorm walking under an umbrella. Now you have a choice. You can walk with an umbrella and you come to your destination and you dry and you don't feel frustrated and you don't feel aggravated. Or you can say, God, let me tell you, I will do my own thing. I'll run between the drops. And see how far that gets you. Doesn't work. And it's the same thing with the things that you plan in your life. God will, in terms of the prophecies that's been spoken over to you. I mean, the youth that's sitting here, honestly, if I see, I sense in the Spirit that you are a generation like no other generation in terms of what God has planned for you. And irrespective of what people say, and I know that's a cliche because everybody says that, but honestly, I mean, in terms of the drive, in terms of your passion, God is not going to get His work undone now. But we need to take this in context. You know, there's a lot of Christians in the church which had fantastic prophecies spoken over them. You know, people would be told, you're a man of God, you've got a healing ministry, you've got a ministry of intercession, prophecy, whatever. And you look at them today and they're just gone. They're nowhere to be found. They live a life most probably 10% within, 10% of the potential that God has put them. Why? Because they didn't understand the timing. What God means is that the prophecies that and the promises that He's made for you still stand. But His timing is His timing. And all we need to do is trust Him in that and say, God, until such time as this happens, I will just stick with what I'm doing. You know, if Joseph had said, this is nonsense. I'm being put in church, in the dungeon, because Putifar's wife says I fancied her, or whatever the case might be. But this is nonsense. I'm sure Joseph would have, and he could have, explained himself out of that situation. But he knew that this wasn't part of where God wanted him. So he said, well, the timing is not right. I trust God in taking me out of this, and in restoring me to the prophecy, because he knew, I'm sure he knew, that he was going to be the ruler of Egypt. He knew that his brothers, because that was part of the first prophecy that God showed him, or the previous dreams, that his brothers are going to bow towards him. So now Joseph sits in prison and says, well, what's this all about? But he knew this was coming. And he didn't do it in his own power and say, well, let me, God, I think you've got this time wrong. Let me sort you out and let me help you on the time issue. No, he just trusted God. And it worked out for him. You know, timing is vitally important for God. When the Israelites took Jericho, God was very specific in saying, this is the procedure that you'll do. And every day you'll do this, and the last day, 7 times you'll walk around the walls. If they were tired after the 5th time and said, okay, now we're just going to blow the horns and do whatever, do you think the power would have manifested? No. You know, in terms of the Israelites going through the desert, you know, God said, okay, you follow the cloud, or you follow the fire pillar, and there where it comes to rest, that's what you do, and then you rest. And then, when it moves, you move along. If they had said, no, God, we think we'll sort this out, we'll just take shortcut through here, they wouldn't have come to the promised land. So timing is very important for us. But the one thing, irrespective of the frustration that we go through, we can know that God is never late. Can I have an amen on that? Okay, the Holy Spirit is the divine appointment. God uses the Holy Spirit to lead us. But now sometimes we say, oh God, you know, very often you know that the Holy Spirit is telling you. He's saying to you, Francois, get up and go to church, or go to that seminar, or go to the youth. And you say, God, I have so many things to do. But the Holy Spirit is leading you. He says, go and speak to that person. You say, God, but you don't understand. This person frustrates me. I really don't like this person. God says, man, go and speak to that person. So the Holy Spirit leads us, but now sometimes I reckon, God, I will only go if you send a magic carpet ride and take me there. The effort to go there is maybe not worth it. And every time we're wrong. So, you know, my appeal to you this morning is listen to when God speaks. Because if God says, go now, it means the timing is right. And if you want to be under that umbrella, you need to get to the umbrella and enjoy its protection. We can procrastinate, and God has got a lot of grace. But at the end of the day, you know, He will never forget us, but we lose out on the blessing. There's in 2 Kings 8, it's the story of Elijah. Now Elijah was a prophet that experienced double the blessing that Elijah had. And why? It's because he asked God for that. But that's not the issue. I'll just summarize the story for you. There was a Canaanite woman and her husband that every time that Elijah came through, they gave him refuge, they built a room at their house, and he stayed there. And when he was busy doing his work, he normally came to their house. And they couldn't birth children. She was barren. And they told Elijah about this, and he said, no problem. He prayed for them, he blessed them, and she had a boy. And then one day this boy was running around just being a kid, playing in the field, and he had a heart attack, or a stroke. It talks about a stroke, and the boy died. And this woman was extremely sad about this, because this was really, for her, it was a God-sent gift. And she contacted Elijah, and he said, no problem. He prayed for the boy, and the boy was restored to life. But he also told the woman that there was 7 years of famine coming. So she packed up her stuff, and she went to stay in the land of the Philistines. After 7 years, she returned. And when she went back to her land and her house, she saw that it was occupied by somebody else. Now this to her, you would think, well, maybe she deserved it because she left. But she said, well, maybe she's going to try. And she went to the king at that point in time. And she wanted to complain to the king and just ask her if he could help her. But, you know, I mean, I'm sure that the laws in those days said if you desert your property, then you've lost it. But now this is God's divine timing. When she arrived at the king, Gehazi was Elijah's servant. He was having a meeting with the king. So now this is God at work. The king asked Gehazi, tell me about the things that Elijah had done. So, you know, Gehazi told the king about all the things that Elijah had done. And he said, oh, by the way, Elijah raised this boy from the dead. And my goodness, he has the mother standing in front of us. And the king was so impressed by this that automatically he wanted to hear from the woman herself. She explained to him the whole thing. And by the way, king, my land is gone and my house is gone. He says, no problem. I will not only give you back your land, I will give you all the prophets of the land that generated over the time that you weren't there. Now, my goodness, that is awesome. That is the God that we serve in terms of if we trust Him for our timing, He will not just meet our expectations. He will meet our expectations abundantly. You excited about that? So am I. Now, Paul said something in while he was doing the offering. He said he was talking about the guy that was in the accident. But Romans 8 verse 28 says, we know that all things work together for the good of those that love God. Those who has called to according to His plan. Now, God also gave me the scripture to say, be still and know that I am God. And this is what I'm trying to explain. If we, in our life, experience an accident or frustration, we can do one of two things. We can either mope about it and just be disgruntled and say, God, what is the story? And we're just not happy campers. Or we can say to God, but wait a minute. You say all things, not some things, all things work together for the good. And let's call God on this promise that He's made. And say, God, if I don't understand the trouble that I'm in, or why I'm in here, or what is your motive for this, but I call upon your promise to say, make this work to my good. How can God not refuse that? Because that's His own word. And so you know, even the negative that comes with timing, even the negative that we wait for and say, God, I don't understand. My CV is all over the world, but nobody has offered me a job. Don't stop there. Say, God, but then obviously there's something else that you need me to attend to. There's obviously something else I need to get my teeth in. There's obviously something you want to show me. There's something that you want to bless me because it's for the good. It's not for the bad, it's for the good. So let's take that attitude. And you will see. You know, one thing about Africa, I thought it was bad in Dubai, but Africa is even worse, and that's this African time issue. You know, you get to a meeting and they say, okay, no, the meeting's going to start, and then 45 minutes, an hour later, it might start. And this is something that really frustrates me because, you know, in my limited vision, I see that as, well, you don't respect somebody's time. But very often, I've now come to say, this is not something that I'm going to change. This is not something that's going to change in Windhoek. This is not something that's going to change in Africa. Now I ask God and say, God, well, while I'm waiting, is there anything that you want to show me? Is there anybody that maybe I should start talking to somebody here. Maybe there's somebody that God has put me there to go to make the time to go and speak to these people. So my request to you is the frustration that you experience, you might say, God, I want to do medicine, or I want to do engineering, or I want to do law, and you might not get accepted if you apply. Do not leave it at that. Say, God, well, if I'm not accepted for that, then maybe there's something else. Maybe there's something better. And that is something that Hanley always says. If we hit these things, she just says, well, there might be something better. And I know that's the answers that's going to come from her. And then I start looking. So, well, okay, then there must be something better. But that really is the attitude that we need to look at these things. Okay, then how do we get to the right place? Well, first of all, we need to hear God. Now this is something that really troubled me because, you know, there's a lot of people that say, first read this book, and this will explain to you exactly how you're going to hear God. There's other people that say, man, you won't start hearing God unless you have fasted for 40 days, only drank water every third day, done this, done that, crawled on your knees, whatever. You just look at the media and you just listen to some of the people. Or you can only hear God if you come to the prophets. Or only come hear God if you come to the pastor and he will tell you what God says. All that. This is not what God says. He says, it is God who produces in you desires and actions that please him. It is God, he says in Ezekiel 36:26, he says, I will give you a new heart and a new spirit in you. I will remove your stubborn hearts and give you obedient hearts. In Hebrews 10 verse 16 it says, this is the promise that I will make to them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my teachings in their heart and write them in their minds. And then Romans 5 verse 5 it says, we're not ashamed to have this confidence because God's love has been poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. So, in terms of this, all we need to do is just say, God, the desire in my heart, and that's pretty much what Rolf said last week, the desire in my heart comes from you. Just accept this scripture. And doesn't matter what, as sure as I'm standing here, the moment you get that desire, the devil will say, that's not of God. He will tell you. You say, maybe God says, go and give that girl an encouraging word. And you say, no, she's now with her friends and no, this can just be the devil. Maybe this is the devil, I'm not going to do it. Well, let me tell you one thing. If it's an encouraging word, the devil is not going to give you an encouraging word for somebody else. So if that's God, then he will make the way. God will not, you know, when God told Moses to lead the people out of Israel, God didn't say, okay, Moses, now this is what you need to do and I'm going to leave it at that. He made the way for him. So if God puts this desire in your heart, just step out and say, God, this is the desire, the time is right, and now I'm going to do it, and you will make a way for it. Okay. So, just trust God every morning to lead you and guide you. And it's as simple as that. If every morning you just take, it's going to take you less than a minute, and say, God, this day I will just trust you that you will lead me and you will guide me. It's all you need to do. Because God is saying, then whatever desire I put in your heart, you will know that it's from me. And that's what you follow. One of the ways, it is God who produces in you the design and actions that please him. But what we need to do is we need to trust God in this. Now, there are some things that we can use as just a check. And the first thing is the word. God will never put a desire in your heart that is not in line with the word. So if God says to you, if God says to me, well, maybe I know that I need money and there's money and nobody knows about that money. That money is not mine. So I can then say, no, this desire is not of God. And, you know, again, I have to go back to the intercession. Very often, Doris or somebody might have a word for us as a church. That is also how God speaks. So all we need to do is we just need to be wise about this. The desires in our heart, first of all, let's see whether it's in line with the word. Let's see whether it's an encouraging nature and it builds something up, somebody up. And just ask your friends, say, or if you're really not sure, say, I sense this. Can you guys help me to pray for it? But the important thing is God wants to tell you, and he will tell you exactly what it is. He says in John 10, verse 27, he said, my sheep recognize my voice. I know them, and they will follow me. He doesn't say, my sheep will learn to recognize my voice. He says, they recognize my voice. So it's something that instinctively is there. We get. I got bogged down by this. I thought it was a question of I have to learn God's word and I have to learn His voice. No, no. He says, if I speak, you will know that I speak. You just need to trust me that it is me speaking. And so God goes before you, and He also has your back. You know, when the Israelites, in terms of timing, when they came to the Red Sea, God was leading them with a cloud. When they came to the Red Sea, they couldn't go. Where did the cloud go? It went to the back of the Israelites. And it caused all confusions amongst the Egyptians that were coming to get the Israelites back. So, and God also says, I'm the Alpha and the Omega. I'm the beginning and I'm in the end. You know what that means for us? It means that sickness will not have the last word in your life. Disease will not have the last word in your life. Fear will not have the last word. Anxiety, that's what it means. So let's trust God in this and say, God, this is your word. You say you are the Alpha and you are the Omega. It means that your timing is absolutely right. And I will not accept these things. If I am now faced by a tragedy in the family, if I'm now faced with death, if I'm now faced with cancer, you can say, God, I'm facing it now, but I also know that this is not the last word, and you will have it. And that's His promise for you. But we need to believe this. Okay, I'm coming in for the landing now. So what must your attitude be? Our attitude must be our eyes on the prize. Our focus on God. You know, where Martha and Mary was busy and Jesus came to their house, you will recall Martha was slaving away and this needed to be in place and that needed to be in place and she did all the work. And Mary just plonked at the feet of Jesus and she just focused on Jesus. And Martha complained bitterly and said, but you know, Jesus, this is not right. Jesus said, no, let her be. She knows she's exactly at the right place. That's where we need to be. And the significance for us in terms of working very hard and just being with Jesus, that we are too busy with things that's not of God. Let's just focus on God and let's just be busy with what He's telling us to do. And leave the other stuff, because the other stuff is the stuff that frustrates you. The other stuff brings tragedy. The other stuff brings frustration because it's not sustainable. But if we can focus on God and say, God, there's so many things to do in church and I have to do everything. God says, no, just do what you need to do. And that's where your blessing will be. Because while we're doing things that we should not be doing, we're robbing somebody else of that blessing. So just let's just focus. Let's just relax. Let's focus on God and just say, God, just mobilize me when I need to be mobilized in terms of what I need to do for you. Then meekness and majesty. Man, God is awesome. We saw this in the worship. But, you know, Luke 22 verse 42, it says, Father, remove this cup from me. But please, not that I want, but what you want. Now, just imagine, this is God's Son working a perfect life. If Jesus said to God, no, I'm not comfortable with this. I can almost tell you, because He was perfect, God would have said, well, that's okay. I do not know whether God was going to be angry with Jesus, because Jesus was perfect. But, and you know, other places in the scripture, Jesus said, I will only do what I see the Father shows me. That's the obedient. Now, the obedient heart. Now, can you imagine the King of Kings saying, I will be obedient to the extent that I need to get this job done. I will be obedient to the extent that people are saying I was born out of wedlock. Because I was just born. I will be obedient to the fact that I wasn't born in a palace. I was born in a manger. Where I mean, I'm sure the cheapest of the inns didn't have a room for us. And I was just delivered in a crib. I mean, that is awesome. That's the God that we serve. So in terms of our meekness, it is not, you know, for Jesus, I can see, and I see the people that I work with. Man, if they're a manager, they expect a manager's level of service. You know, if they're a manager, then somebody needs to serve them tea. They don't get up and get their own tea. If they're a CEO, then that comes with certain perks. And my goodness, there's all hell is loose if the kettle is not boiling at a certain time and things like that. And you look at this and say, but this is not what God called us. If we go with His attitude, we're going to miss what He's showing us. You know, I was I might have told you the story. One day and this is not a sign of meekness. It's just you will see where I come from. It was in Dubai one evening late, and I was traveling home. And on the highway, you had a 7-lane highway coming this way and a 15-lane highway going that way, and it was just cars. And this, it was Dubai. And the point is, there was a lot of cars. Okay, don't get bogged down by the lanes. Okay, and in the middle was this Indian fellow. And I thought, this is crazy. This is really crazy to stand at this. It was 11, half past 11 at night. This is crazy for somebody to stand here. But I knew that the fact that he was standing here means that he needed to go a long way. And, you know, it's also against my nature to stop and pick somebody up. So I stopped. And now, you know, I was in two minds, but I stopped, got into the car, we drove off, and I started speaking to him. And he was telling me, as a Hindu, in their belief, it's extremely difficult to change religions. And if you change religion, it's you're dead in the family. I mean, it's just something that they do not tolerate. And he was telling me about, came from India, God showed him this, God revealed this to him, God healed his hearing, and his family abandoned him, and now he's sitting in Dubai, almost working as a slave, because in Dubai, the laborers work as slaves. I mean, modern-day slavery is alive in Dubai. These Arabs are ruthless when it comes to anybody that's not Arab. And he was telling me this, but in spite of all this, he could not stop testifying about the goodness of God. And I felt so ashamed. And I dropped him and bid him on his way. And must have been a year later, we get somebody at our compound, and I think God spoke to Hanley and said, this guy needs to meet God, but we can only speak English and Afrikaans, which is definitely not very close to Urdu or Hindi that they speak. Now, first of all, this is Dubai. There's a lot of Muslims, but there's not very many Christians that can speak Urdu and Hindi. And all of a sudden, God reminded me of this guy that I picked up. This was a year later. So we phoned this guy. And I said, look, would you mind to translate to this new guy that we met? And he said, not a problem. And that was the divine appointment. That is God working. And I mean, you think, you know, I might have thought, maybe I did maybe think, I said, you know, this is so beneath me to stop now in the middle of the highway at middle of night to pick up a laborer to take him with me. Because I think it was midsummer as well. And I tell you, 45 degrees, the smell is just unbelievable. And you think, you know, I like my luxuries. I like my comforts. But this is not where God wants us. He wants us to be where He wants us to be. Yeah? And then the heart of David. And honestly, we're just about finished. But the heart of David. David is anointed as king. So, when Samuel went to Jesse's place to anoint the king, he came to Jesse and he said, Jesse, bring me all your sons. One of them are going to be king. So all the sons were paraded, and Samuel had a look at them and he says, no, this is not here. And then Jesse said, no, but these are the boys. He said, no, this is not where the king is not here. You must have another son. Jesse says, yes, I have a small one. He's attending to the sheep. Well, bring him. Now, talking about rejection, you know, how special must David have felt when Jesse knew that the king was going to be chosen out of the brothers, and he wasn't even invited for the lineup. I mean, he was just, okay, you're out there in the sheep. This is where David, this is his heart. So, you know, if that was me, I would walk to the brother and say, yeah, I'm the new king, huh? But this is not, what did David do? He was anointed, and he didn't hang around to gloat. He went back and he tended the sheep. I mean, that is pretty special. Yeah, and you're not just the king of any country. You're the king of Israel, God's chosen people. So, and you know, when David killed the giant, I mean, he was number one enemy. It's like Osama bin Laden. You know, he was the bad dude. And when David killed him, Saul said, "But who are you?" He could have said to Saul, "I'm the man." He could have said to Saul, "I'm the new king." No, he said, he didn't even mention his name. He said, "I'm the son of your servant, Jesse." I mean, that is a heart. Huh? And this is not something that we cannot attain. Because if the Holy Spirit is in us, all that means is that Jesus and David knew that we are here for the glory of God. And that is the only thing that they were focused on. And that is the attitude that we need to go. In closing, this is now really, we're coming. In 2 Corinthians 16, verse 9. Can you get that? Yeah. This is now God. "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro through the whole earth to show himself strong in behalf of those whose hearts are blameless towards him." And then, "You have done foolishly in this, therefore from now on you shall have wars." But the focus is on the first part. God's heart is to bless us. Yeah, he says his eyes are looking for opportunities to bless us. So what joy and relief is it for us? We really need to, this is really a summary. This is what we need to take at heart. All of this, my preaching, the worship, is all useless if we do not believe this. If we do not believe this is the heart of God, if we do not believe that song that we sang to say he's more than enough for us, if we do not believe this, then we're wasting our time. We need to buy into this. If we, the heart of God, in terms of, if you trust God for what's going to be done in your life, if you trust for God for a miracle, God is going to make that miracle happen most probably through people. If you are trusting God to look after you, God can do anything, but it's unlikely that he's going to give you the lotto number to put in, say, "I'm going to buy the lotto ticket." But he would most probably send somebody on your way to say, "I have a job for you. I have employment for you. I have a house for you. I have something that you can do." That is what God would most probably do. That's why it's important. You know, we are so focused on the material solution to our problem. Say, "God, this is what I need. I need the lotto number, or I need, you know, something material. I need a car." We're missing God. If we trust him, he would most probably show us somebody that we need to first go and speak to. And the guy will say, "By the way, I have a car that I don't use," or something to that effect. So let's remember that. God is more interested in the people around us than the issues that is frustrating us. So we need to trust God that he's going to put us in the right place at the right time. We need to trust God that what you have now, for now, this is, listen to me, for what you have now is the best for you now until it changes. And when it changes, it will go to something new. But you need to trust God to say, "God, I know where I am now is where you need to be, where I need to be. But I will listen to your word, because if I need to move, I will move." Because if we are saying, "God, I'm not, I shouldn't be here," how will you listen to God to move? We need to trust and say, "This morning, where you're sitting now, what you're hearing now, is where God wanted you. And from here on, he will show you how to move forward." We need to trust God that he's in control. nothing in our lives have escalated, irrespective of the crisis that we go through. Nothing in our lives has escalated to something that God cannot handle. And you need to remember that. And then what David and them, they understood that it's always for the glory of God. So from today on, start expecting God to start moving and putting you in the right place and at the right time. And honestly, open your eyes. Just say, God, open these spiritual eyes of mine. Let me see your work. Let me hear. And if I can't hear your voice or I'm not paying attention, then God, just amplify your voice. But the attitude starts with you. You need to make that decision. Say, God, I want it. I want it. I want it. And I will not leave until you give this to me. And he's going to respond because he's faithful. And he made the promises for us. In closing, what we're going to do is we're going to have communion. Okay? Now, before they give us the wine and the cool drink, or the bread and the wine, I want you to just focus on one or two things. God says in his word, and this came up in this morning's intercession, we saw chains breaking. And really, this is for you. You can get distracted. You can do other things. God has given us this opportunity. And he's saying, I'm here this day to meet with you. Those that want healing, this morning is for you. God said, I wanted to heal people. God said this morning, I wanted to set people free. He showed me chains, that there was a hammer coming from heaven and hitting these chains and they just shattered. So for those that trust God, this morning is your day for a breakthrough. And the communion that we can have, the troubles that you experience, the things, this morning is the day that it's going to change. But it's for you to take. We can leave it or we can take it. And that's up to us. God says, anyone who eats and drinks is eating and drinking a judgment against them when he doesn't recognize the Lord's body. And this is what it is. This is the reason why many of us are weak and sick, and quite a number have died. And he's not, what God is saying is that he's given us the communion. He's given us his promises. And it's for us. The sickness and the disease is not of God. But what he's saying is he's given us the power through him to overcome this. And if we understand that, we need not be bound by these problems. We can break it. In Acts 2 verse 42, it says, disciples were devoted to the teaching of the gospel, to fellowship and to breaking of the bread and to prayer. Now, before we start, we just need to discern two things. It's the blood. Now, discerning the blood, it's in Ephesians 1 verse 7, it says, through the blood of God, through the blood of his Son, we are set free from our sins. God forgave our failures because of his overflowing kindness. We need to trust God and understand through the blood we are given for all our sins, for what we've done and for what we are going to do. And it doesn't give you a license to sin, but we are not perfect. But we are dead to the law. So if God looks at us, he sees the righteousness of Christ. He sees the blood of Christ. God cannot look at us if we've given our heart to him and see the sin. He cannot do that because that's against his promise. When he sees us, he sees the blood of Christ. And we need to remember that. So that gives us complete freedom and forgiveness for sin. And for healing, again, it's for physical healing. It's for deliverance because both are from the devil. Your sickness is not of God. And those that believe sickness comes from God need to go and read their Bible again. How can God is the giver of good gifts? How can sickness be a good gift? So we need to understand this, because a lot of Christians today go and they walk through life like this and say, well, this is the cross that Jesus has given me and God has given me. That's nonsense. It's the cross that he's choosing to walk with. But we can leave this at the cross this morning and say, no, we stand. God has given us the ability through his power to get healed. And this, you know, we're talking about grief and sorrow. He says in Isaiah 53 verse 4, he says, He certainly has taken upon Himself our suffering and carried our sorrows. So, I think those that distribute the supper can carry on. All I want to do is, you know, Jesus, while He was walking on the earth, was 100% healed. He was 100% healthy. You don't read about Jesus being sick. To the fact he was so brimming with health that people said, if I can just touch the garment, the lady with the issue of blood, if I can just touch the garment, I'll be healed. So while we're having this Lord's Supper, trust God for these promises in your life. Trust Him. If you're saying, God, I'm addicted to things. I have short temper. I'm getting depressed. Trust Him this morning that today is the day that He said, my body's broken for you. You do not need to take this. Trust Him for the breakthrough. If you feel fearful, anxiety, trust Him for this. In Luke 22, verse 17 to 20, he says, Then he took the cup and spoke a prayer of thanksgiving. He said, Take this, share it. I can guarantee from now on, I won't drink this wine until the kingdom of God comes. Then Jesus took the bread and spoke a prayer of thanksgiving. He broke the bread, gave it to them and said, This is my body, which is given up for you. Do this in remembrance of me. When supper was over, he did the same with the cup. He said, This cup that is poured out for you is the new promise made with my blood. Amen. So, really, church, trust God. All the promises that He's made for you, that you're waiting, all the frustration that you experience, your parents fighting, your parents not seeing eye to eye, here is the opportunity to say, God, this is where it stops. This is what I put for you, because your body was put for me, put on the cross for me, and it was broken for me. Has everybody been served? Okay, you can just move your glasses to the side and then we can... Okay, if we can just... what I want to do in closing is I really want to appeal to you. Anybody that feels they need prayer, this is a thing between you and God. This is something between you and God, and this is not something that He has taken lightly. This has cost him dearly. You know, Joseph Prince told a story. He told a story about a bus driver with a bus full of kids, and as the bus was going down the steep embankment, the bus driver heard that the brakes were failing, and this bus was just picking up speed, and he knew that if he could get to the bottom, there was an open field, and if you can go into this field, it would be safe. And he was really hanging on to the steering wheel. But as he came to the open field, there was one gate, and there was a child waiting at that gate. And the bus driver had to make a decision. He either swerves to miss the child, and then maybe kill all the children on board, or he hits the child, but the children on board will be saved. And he had only one choice, and he ran over this kid, and the bus came to a standstill, and everybody was saved. And when the police and ambulance and everybody came there, they saw that everybody was okay on the bus, and they said, "Well, where's the bus driver?" And they said, "He's sitting there at the back, and he's crying, because the child that was standing there was his son." And this is the same, and this is really serious. This is the heart of God. He made that same choice for us. And therefore, to leave that door today and not taking God at His promises that has costed Him dearly, it's you missing the blessing, because God wants so much more for you. So my sincere appeal to you is, if anybody wants further prayer, if you are sick, if you're anxious, if you're fearful, irrespective of the communion that we've just had and the promise we have, and if you just want somebody to pray with you, take this opportunity. I would like everybody that's involved in cells, Henning, and those guys, just to come up to the front as well and help pray. If anybody needs prayer, you do not go out today without accepting God's best for you, and without making the decision that from today on you will focus on His timing and experience the blessing. Because as sad as that child that was run over, so sad is God to see us paddle around in circumstances that we do not need to take, because He sees our hearts are crying. He sees that we're not happy, and He says, "My son, my daughter, I have so much more for you." Okay, so let's finish in prayer. Our Father, we just want to come to You this morning, and Lord, we just want to thank You for just being the Father that You are, Lord. We want to thank You for Your Son Jesus that gave everything on the cross, Lord, and it was your choice to go through all this for us, Lord. And we do not have words to express how thankful we are. But Lord, thank You that we also know that You've given us the promises that we can change, and our circumstances can change, and we can live life in victory as You have paid so dearly for. Lord, and my prayer is that for those that have made the decision to say, "God, from now on, I understand that I can be at the right place, in the right time," that we can embrace that and we can take that. And we know that Your Holy Spirit will lead us there. You will always also give us the grace to hear Your voice, Lord. And we will not make this something that it's not. We will make it as simple as You have planned it for us. Lord, and thank You that we could once again understand that Your eyes go to and fro for see to see and look at opportunities where you can bless us, because that is the nature of your heart, Lord. And we just thank you, Lord, in advance. I want to thank you for the healings today, Lord. I want to thank you for the relationships that you're going to restore, Lord. If there's people here that might have been hurt by previous happenings and they battle to forgive, Lord, I thank you that your forgiveness is also catered for on the cross, Lord. Your forgiveness is also there. Our ability to forgive people that have dearly hurt us, we know that we can do it through you, Lord. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. On that happy note, have a blessed week.